Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new
spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Time to get real and welcome everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and I am so excited to be here with you. You know, I've been doing this radio show for a little over 2 years now, and it's funny because in the beginning of the show, when I first started, I couldn't put two words together. I mean, to speak for 5 minutes was torture. And, of course, my regular audiences knows that I can speak forever. But what I really want to say is I am appreciating this moment. I am appreciating and grateful for just the ability to reach out and speak to and have you participate in this radio, on this radio show, Reality Spirituality. And I'm just stopping here for a moment, looking outside and from the studio, looking outside at the mountains, and the sun is just coming up. I want to appreciate you. I feel connected, and I'm feeling connected to our guest that is going, which actually I didn't know if he remembered because it was a couple minutes before the show and nobody called in. But, yeah, I'm just loving this moment. I'm loving this day. So I just had to say that. For my new listeners, you're probably wondering what is reality spirituality? Well, I'm glad you asked. Reality spirituality, it's not a religion. It's a guide to living connected to our most powerful energy source. Some people say, use the term God, Buddha, higher power, source, energy. I use the term universe. And this show, Reality Spirituality, teaches us how to remain connected throughout our day in each and every moment. It doesn't matter what happens to us. It doesn't matter what someone says to you or does. It doesn't really matter because you have set your personal temperature gauge, to peace, contentment, knowing, trusting, and surrendering to the universe, knowing that everything that happens is happening for a great reason. It's happening for our betterment. It's happening so we can grow and we can evolve. And honestly, this is my new thing now. The universe, I am not in control of anything other than my perspective and or my attitude and for my choices, but I am not in control. The universe is driving this ship. The universe is driving this limo, and I am in the back seat. Now, was I always like that? Hell no. But deciding and committing to peace in mind at all costs, has taken me to this place where I am now. Remember, one of my favorite quotes is, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. So reality spirituality is all about the journey and all about how to live connected. So with all of that said, let me introduce our guest for the day. His name is Jerry Wenstrom, and he's the author of The Inspired Heart. Actually, there's a question mark behind that. I like that. And so he says, at a time when many people are experiencing the loss of everything they most identify with, Jerry's experience living creatively in the void offers inspiration, hope, and new possibility. Creatively in the void. Well, let's bring Jerry on and find out, what does that mean? Jerry, welcome to the show. Welcome to Reality Spirituality.
Thank you, Rebecca, and thank you to your audience.
Yes. So, where did this new way of living begin in a few sentences? Where did this begin for you, your spiritual journey?
Well, I think, as many artists know, there's a kind of the creative edge has at some level a spiritual dimension to it, and you take risks and something inspired comes through. And I think having kind of in a certain sense mastered that in the safety and the confines of the studio, I feel like the gods upped the ante, and then I was asked to do it with my whole life. And that's when I destroyed all my work and gave all my money away and decided to live creatively in every way.
Ooh. Destroyed all of your work. You destroyed all of your artwork, and you just, like, new beginning, huh?
Yes. And just lived creatively in the moment, you know, from that.
Now,
when was this?
When did you specifically? How many years ago?
Well, that was in 1979, and I proceeded to live that way for the next 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is really interesting is, because I believe that there is nothing that I need to do, there's nothing that I should do, it's only what I'm inspired to do. And for you to, I'm an outsider, just feeling what you just said, for you to destroy everything that you created and give all your money away, I mean, that's so universally inspired. How did you feel after all of that? How did you feel? What are some of the adjectives? Free? What? What happened?
Yes. Well, initially, inspired and fully alive, and then, of course, reality kicks in, and you kind of wonder what it's all about. But it was from that point on, there was no turning back. There was simply trusting in each moment. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that process, I feel like, you know, it was such a strange reality. I never could have pulled it off for that long if I didn't feel helping hands. And I think, you know, the nature of mind is to try and control our reality. And, you know, what I had to learn is that, you know, even at the darkest moments, that's often where the next, in a sense, miracle comes through, the next moment that defines reality from that point on. And it was about living for that kind of miracle rather than my strategies and good intentions.
Okay, so you made a lot of good points, but I want to focus on, you said the mind tries to control the reality. And what I share on this show is that there are two voices in my head. They're the voice of the mind or the ego, some people call it ego, whatever you want to call it. And that voice never is there supporting me, is never there cheering me on. It's always finding fault. It's always, it's this critical voice in my ear. And so then there's the voice of the universe. And the universe for me is all loving, all supporting. You know, you are amazing. You are the extension. You are an extension of the universe. And so all it is for me is deciding which voice I'm going to listen to. And they both live in harmony. My ego, my mind lives in harmony with the universe. However, the one that is the most critical, the voice, does not get in the front seat and drive my car. Yes or yes?
Well, yes. I mean, I think mind has to, like, as you say, a harmony, it has to be part of the deal, but I think we have to realize the limitations of, you know, how, of what it is we can do with mind. I mean, there's this inevitable surrender that happens, that has to happen. It's a kind of metaphoric death that I think, you know, we tend to rather avoid. You know, we think emptiness means nothing, when in fact, when we have no more options, that's often the place when we can turn into that emptiness and into that seemingly darkness. That's where the renewal begins.
Right. So specifically how, because for me, this evolution and this growth is not overnight. And quite frankly, it's the most challenging way to live, totally surrendering. And when I say surrendering, I mean surrendering in every moment. Plans, no expectations, no attachments, none of that. How, and let me ask you this, where are you now with your, in your journey? Where are you now?
Well, I'm doing art again. In many ways, I still live the way I did originally, but I think it's like learning to dance. Back then, it was so clumsy, and it made, in some literal way, from my old way of thinking, it didn't make a lot of sense, but it wasn't sense I was banking on any longer. But at this point in my life, I feel like the music is playing, and now it's a kind of celebratory dance. So it's very different. I mean, the groundwork is the same. I mean, I still don't do anything for money, and, you know, I mean, thousands of dollars have come in many different ways. I mean, I just got a grant to do my art, which is, you know, I've been doing. So, you know, it's the same but different. I think it's the celebratory end of it rather than the gruelingly difficult learning process. And
so,
I think
so
that's
it sounds
how it
like
should be.
Yeah, it sounds like you you just have an awareness of what's real and what is an illusion.
Yes, and I think, you know, what, you know, the way of surrender that was so enormously difficult then, you know, because I had to surrender my identity and who the world thought I was as an artist. I mean, I had something of a following. So having to let go of all that, surrender now is, it's still never completely easy, but I think it's more like, when a difficult moment comes where I can no longer feel I'm running the show, it's like, you know, there are two things that happen. One is I always feel that sense of terror or fear, and the other thing is I actually get excited. So those two things run, and I think being able to hold that paradox is really a big part of what life's about, to be able to hold dueling opposites, as you were saying about mind and spirit, to be able to hold those opposites. That's where this third entity comes through, this third and unexpected event that we couldn't have strategically arranged for ourselves. And so it's, life is still that way, and except now I think it's much more natural. It's like habit. You know, we get in the habit of being afraid of life, of being afraid of change, of being afraid to be nothing, you know, or to be seen as nothing. But I think that habit, you know, the habit can change to where when all is lost, we can actually get in the habit of seeing that this is where it's at. This is where the magic happens. And so, you know, we can change those habits. We're taught to be afraid. I mean, that's just the nature of the game. Survive, you know, take care of yourself, and do all the things you need to do to be somebody. When, in fact, we are most somebody when we can inhabit it all, which looks everything like nothing to a very limited idea of ourselves.
Yeah. you said a lot of things. You're talking about habit, and you know, fear. All of what I share with my audience is, you know, at 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old, I had no judgments. I had no I did not have the ability to judge or to blame or to be critical of myself or others. I didn't care how I looked. I didn't care how much money in the bank. So all of these, you say, habits are for me, they're all learned. And so now it's just a life of unlearning what I learned about looking out and pointing the finger instead of looking in the mirror and realizing who I really am, which is a physical extension of the universe. I am a physical extension of the energy that creates worlds. That's who I really am. And you said something about people and this idea of wanting to achieve this. I'm just speaking of myself, wanting to achieve or wanting to be something. I learned that too. So all of these things that I learned are man-made. I say they're man-made wants. They're man-made thoughts. I have to let it go. I let it go. And again, I'm sure that you agree with me that this evolution, this personal evolution and awareness, takes forever. And I really mean it never ends. There is no ending to the evolution. There is no ending to this journey. And so the other thing that I've had to really embrace is being patient. Being patient with life, being patient with myself, being patient with others, being patient with all of it, because time is another illusion. Time is something else that's man-made.
Well, I think there's a point to be made, and it tends to be a little controversial in a sense, but I believe there is that celebratory end where you say it's endless, and that is true. I mean, the ways our boogeymen will pop up will be new each time, and it'll have a new face, and it will be something unexpected. And yet, I think that there is a moment where we can let the gods know we mean business. And there's something that comes through like a promise. And that's also what I meant by, you know, it's how things really do change, where we become more one with the process. And it doesn't mean we don't have challenges any longer. It just means that we are able to be at one with them. We're able to flow with them rather than resist them. And so that celebratory end is like a promise. It's a gift that comes through. It's sort of that final miracle. And I think in this day, you know, what used to be called so-called enlightenment was reserved for the mystics. I think it is so up in our world right now. It's a requirement of our time. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. It's an experience that is given. It comes by way of a kind of gift by, first of all, letting the gods know we mean business, by putting our lives on that altar in whatever form it needs to take for us. And it's different for each of us. But what comes through is bedrock. And in that way, it's not business as usual. It's not endless in the way that it's been gruelingly difficult and continues to be. It has that element of celebration about it where we are able to give ourselves into that emptiness over and over again because it comes through like a promise and not like an achievement. So it's different. It is different. There's something that ends, which is useless suffering.
Okay, I definitely agree with you on that one, useless suffering. And I'm not even going to say useless suffering, because suffering actually has a purpose. Suffering has a purpose, and suffering is actually a hint. Suffering for me, and I can only speak for me, suffering for me is a clue that I am not connected. I want to also ask my listeners, but open up the phone lines. You can call in and be a part of this conversation. The area code is 646-564-9619. Area code 646-564-9619. And I totally understand what you're saying, and that's one of the reasons why I love to have so many different perspectives on the show, because there are 7.2 billion people on this planet, 7.2 billion people, and each one, and I say we are as different as our fingerprints, and each one of our journeys are unique to us. So I love to share my journey, and you're sharing your journey, and everyone has their own specific journey. And for me, I have to say that this is how the universe is working with me. I'm just going to get really, really real. There are certain things in my life and past life and present life that really, really, really annoy the hell out of me and really are, in other words, they just like, some people say button pushers. And for me, since my priority, I know what you said, I want to get back to, since my priority is peace at all costs, peace in mind at all costs, then the universe throws these things right in my face, and my job is to relax and to be in a situation and get, and in other words, eliminate that annoyance. And that happens with me every day. Things that used to piss me off last week or 2 weeks ago, 6 months ago, right in my face now, and you know what? It's okay. All right, that's okay. Rude cashier, that's okay. Slow, that's okay. So for me, that's my evolution, and it's a daily, daily process.
Yeah. You know, and the idea of peace at all costs, I think being in the moment, as you describe, with each challenge, there's a time when what is required of that moment is to be a warrior, where we do use the sword. And I think it's something that needs to be used minimally, but to cut through the nonsense, to cut through the illusion, whether it's our own or somebody's projection coming at us. You know, and that doesn't mean, you know, as a peace as opposed to war, but it means knowing how to take a stand for that thing you, in your heart of hearts, you know, is right. You know,
okay,
let's
talk specifically. What do you mean by that? Give me an example of you having to use a sword and be a warrior, something specific.
Well, I mean, I will give you an example of a way I use the sword in a peaceful way. I had a woman come out from Seattle. I live on Whidbey Island. And so she was coming out to do an interview me for her program. And so, you know, I'm always a little nervous and excited about that. And so here she was actually coming out. So, you know, I had prepared food and was going to host her. And so when she came, her energy was so intense and scared and lost. And so we sat down to do this interview. And, you know, the obvious thing to do was to talk and to meet that energy halfway at some level. And all I could do in feeling into the moment was to be completely silent. And that's what I did. She was coming at me almost in a chaotic, you know, it's almost a violating way because of her own insecurity and pain. And all I could do was feel her pain, and I couldn't respond. And I simply fell silent, which took at some level, a lot of courage and a lot of will and determination. It was a strange thing to do, and yet that's what I did. And the moment I looked up, she was in tears. And then she poured her heart out. She had breast cancer, and all this stuff came out. And I just hugged her, and I made her dinner, and she ended up spending the night. We have a dormitory. We have guests all the time. And in the morning, we did a beautiful interview. So the idea of reality that's coming at us, you know, that's where we might need to do something opposite, which would appear, you know, very sword-like to the idea of ourselves for someone on the other end of it to experience that. And, you know, and there are times when I literally use this, you know, not literally, but I use this word where I just blast somebody. You know, I had a woman come here who, you know, just really was full of ego, and, you know, and I just cut right through the ego really quickly. And, you know, and it's the last thing to do, you know, that proverbial live by the sword, die by the sword. I know the danger.
How did you do that? How did you do that? You said she had a lot of ego. How did you do that? What did you say? You said you blasted. What does that mean?
Well, I just named it all. I mean, I just said what I saw was going on. And you know, I mean, that's simply what I did. And, it was, you know, it's shocking when we have such a fix on who we think we are. It's a blow to the ego. I mean, but what I think about the use of the sword is we always – I know whenever I know I'm going to do it, because I can tell by my heart starts to beat faster, I feel like I can't be in this insanity. I mean, we have to first use it on ourselves. It's almost like I turn inward and I know I have to risk everything in this moment, and this person may hate me or this might go turn out wrong, but I know I have to do it. So it's almost like I almost have to sacrifice myself first before I can come out and say what I need to say. And it can happen in any form. I mean, we've all had moments where we've had to speak up, and our heart will race, and we know we have to do it. And when we don't do it, we end up actually going under with the illusion. We end up becoming the projection, you know, that thing that people are afraid of. We end up in some way sharing that fear rather than cutting through it. So there's no option to, at times, and this is the original point, to using the sword, to having to cut through and say what needs to be said in a given moment, which can be shocking. You know, it's in a sense, you know, it's what gets cut through isn't the soul, it's the ego.
Right. So, but you didn't tell me what you said to her. I'm really interested in what you said to her.
Well, it was a woman, she was really beautiful, she was really successful, worked for Microsoft, when I really listened to everything, you know, what was all that was coming at me, what I heard was that she was actually faking it. You know, there was a part of her that was really lost, and she was really faking, you know, and because she had all the doors open so easily, because she was making tons of money and she was, you know, a nice looking woman, all the easy stuff was coming, was available to her. But what I heard underneath it all, that was this small little human being who really was afraid and suffering and didn't know who in the hell she was. And basically, that's what I said. I mean, I said what I was perceiving was underneath it all, and that's where she just broke down, you know, and it all...
Okay. I understand what you're saying now. I understand. I love your example. I loved your example of this person with all of the energy coming in, and you just said, you know, hyper, nervous, whatever description, energy, and you were just silent. I love that because for me, this is how I describe it. I describe it as being the universe. The universe is silent. The universe, and with that other energy of being silent, you're also accepting. So the energy of acceptance, the energy of being silent, the energy of just embracing is very, very powerful. Very powerful. And quite frankly, it brings other energies not like that to the knees. So I get what I totally understand what you're saying. It's like, for me, it's doing exactly the opposite of what I used to do, which was be confrontational and or spoke my mind. But no, it's more, the universe is so into surrender, regardless of what kind of energy that comes in. When's the last time you've been angry, Jerry?
Well, I get angry easily. You mean when some things, you know, and it's either like I have to face my own stuff around it, or it's something that needs to be addressed. So, you know, I don't know, the last time, probably not very long ago. I mean,
oh,
I can't
Jesus.
Remember.
You get angry easily? That's interesting. It's interesting.
Well,
to me.
Sure. I mean, I read what's the news, and I get angry. I mean, I get angry at what's going on in the world and what's going on politically, and you know what's going on environmentally. I mean, to what degree? That's, you know, we can go crazy, or we can, like, you know, surrender into that too and do what we can do about it all. So, you know, what degree? I think there's a kind of righteous anger when you feel something innocent and beautiful is being violated. There's nothing wrong with a kind of, like, it fuels our fire to do something about it. And it often means that who has to do something about it? I do. You do. I mean, what is the source? What's going on around it? I mean, you know, anger, like love, can be fuel. It's sort of like the grease that greases the skids for action sometimes.
I totally disagree with all of that. But that's why there's 7.2 different perspectives, and I like to share with you why, only, you know, 'cause my audience. There is nothing wrong, this is my opinion, there is nothing, my perspective, there's nothing wrong with what's going on in the world. There's nothing wrong with the political, there's nothing wrong with the environment, because the universe is setting all this up, has set all this up, and the universe doesn't make mistakes. And I look at it as a huge tree. And the tree has roots, it has a trunk, it has branches, it has leaves, it has flowers, it has fruit, bark. And there is nothing, honestly, for me, there is nothing wrong. If there's something wrong for me, then I'm saying that the universe is making a mistake. And anger for me, doesn't feel good anymore. I used to get angry over anything. And for me, because this is my thing, I believe that, well, I know that I'm energy. And whatever energy I'm putting out, whatever energy I'm emitting, then that's the energy I'm going to be getting back. That's the energy I'm going to be attracting. So I am not, for me, that anger and being thinking that there's something wrong, I'm just not there anymore. I just can't feel that anymore. It's too much of a great plan. I look around.
And that's your challenge. I mean, clearly that's your challenge. But you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, there are times when,
I can.
You know, like, I think both are true. Yes, the universe is perfect. But I also think there's the chop water, the chop wood carry water element of reality, where a moment again will call for action. Like say in your own life that somebody, your close friend, stole from you, or there's a moment where, you know, something basic is violated, or all of the ugly things that happen. There's a time when we're called on to participate in the healing of that moment. So the perfection of the universe, when ugly things happen, is our participation, maybe, to feel a righteous anger and to do something about it. You know, there's nothing. I think. I mean, what I hear in you is that you were too angry, and so that's your challenge, is to deal with that, which I think is a very healthy thing. If your edge is to go for peace, I know that that's a very creative edge for you. But I think, you know, again, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's nothing wrong with healthy anger. I mean, look at Christ in the temple upsetting the money tables, or, I mean, you look at any spiritual tradition, you have those moments of, you know, of mystics and saints and gods blasting through illusion, you know. But I think we can't take it personally. We can't identify with us, ourselves as the doer. We just have to act our part and know that's part of the perfection of the universe too.
I love your example of Christ getting angry in the temple, and I say that Christ getting angry in the temple is the human coming out in him, as opposed to the universe coming out. So there's two ways. It's a human, either human emotions or universal emotions. And so definitely human coming out. You're absolutely right. And for me, I rather be more universal than man. This is also what I want to tell you. Deepak Chopra wrote this really, really, I think it was in his book. And I don't remember which book it was. It was either Deepak or Eckhart. And one of the examples, he said there was this man in a village, and he was very well respected. He was a really big deal. And he was accused of having relations with a woman, and now she's pregnant, and now she has this baby, and they said, you're the one that did it. It's your baby. You did this to me. You take care of this baby. And the man just said, okay. Years later, the man raised the child. It wasn't even his. It was the accusation wasn't true. But it didn't matter, and he just flowed with whatever accusation. And years later, they found out, no, it wasn't true. It's not his baby. It wasn't his fault. But he never said anything. He never resisted what was thought. I mean, what was thought and what was said. And that is the type of person I want to be, where I don't need to make any quote-unquote wrong right. I just need to be just like the universe and surrender to whatever is said. That's just me.
Well, I think you're an overzealous convert, but I love your attitude. I think that's your challenge. I believe it's your challenge.
Thank you for the label. I love it. Woo-wee! Reality, spirituality. Now, how would you like to share with my listeners where they can find you and your website and your whatever you'd like to share with my listeners where they can find you?
Well, I have a website, handsofalchemy.com, and everything's there.
Perfect. So let me spell that for people that don't know how to spell alchemy. In the hands of alchemy, and that's H-A-N-D-S.
It's just the website is Hands of Alchemy, A-L-C-H-E-M-Y.
Right. I was trying to spell the whole thing.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hands. H-A-N-D-S.
Yes. Hands of Alchemy. And so it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure having you on the show, Jerry. Really a pleasure. I appreciate your perspective, your different perspective. I appreciate your wisdom, and I loved that you shared your thoughts.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate being on your show.
Okay, have a wonderful day.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. Everyone, you've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Reality Spirituality is on every Saturday and Sunday, and you can go to my website at RebeccaNorrington.com, RebeccaNorrington. You can also go to Reality Spirituality Facebook page, and if you like the show, like Reality Spirituality. I want to remind all of you who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a unhappy journey. You cannot have a happy journey to an unhappy. Jesus, I can't even say that. Let me go back. You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Okay. Jerry just hung up. Woo! Damn, that was interesting, was it? Wasn't it? I love this show, and I love the way I love the way that the universe just works through me. I don't know if any of you guys got that, but he didn't like what I was saying, and I didn't mind what he was saying, but he definitely didn't like what I was saying. I didn't agree. But anyway, that's the way the ball bounces. Sometimes you have like minds, and so it's not even like minds. Sometimes it's like energy, and sometimes it's not. And I have to say, in 2 years of doing this show, that has never ever happened. People are in the chat room. Do you have a question? Would you like to ask me, or you have an issue that's going on? We have a little bit of time because our guest is not here anymore. And let me tell you something. Our guest is not here anymore because of me. It's nothing that he did, but it was what I said. And there you go. So if any of you have questions or comments or need something talked about, feel free to chat, or you can call in at 646-564-9619. I would like to say that you can listen to Reality Spirituality every Saturday and Sunday. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. And if you've enjoyed the show, of course, go to Reality Spirituality Facebook page. Until tomorrow, this has been a real Reality Spirituality. Have a wonderful day, and I will chat with all of you tomorrow. Oh my God, that was so funny.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for